Today, more than ever, we must know the ways in which God will speak. We also need to know how to deal with the things that will block his voice. We start here as you stand to your feet and hold the word in your hand. You ready to do it? We make the affirmation. Those of you who might be new, those of you who might be visiting or maybe been gone for a while, on Father's Day, the message was, how big should the word of God be in the life of a father? And it was at that point that the ushers came down the aisle bringing that. That's how big it needs to be in the life of a father. And so we stand on this word, and since the beginning of this year, we've made this affirmation. It's become a part of us. I want you to hold the word in your hand, or if you're following on your phone, hold that in your hand right now. And I want you loudly to say it. Nobody's listening to you. You talk to God, and you make this affirmation. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everyone said loudly, God bless you. Be seated. This word is wise. This word is powerful. This word is eternal. We need it now. So many people are confused. They have been intentionally confused from the classroom as little children. They've been intentionally confused by the TV shows of our little children for the last 25 years that have come on there. They have been confused by media, by music, by entertainment, by things that are reeling them in, by things that even look innocent for children. But the agenda, when you realize with the passage of time, you see something going on. And there's confusion today. I saw something last night where there was a young child who was 10 years old, and the mom and the dad were patting this little child on the shoulder, and the doctor was there, and the little child was afraid, but they were fixing so that the child would never be able to have any children. And they were doing that, and I'm going to tell you what, mom and dad needs to be cuffed, perp walked, and taken to jail. The doctor needs to put under the jail, and that is so wrong. But people are confused today. Confusion. Let me right off right now. Put your antennas up. God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of confusion. Even gender confusion. And I got to tell you what, I follow the science. Here's science. Put 100 women and 10 men on a deserted island. In 100 years, you'll have a community of men, women, boys, and girls. Isn't that right? Put 100 trans women and 10 men on a deserted island. In 100 years, you'll find skeletons of 110 men. That's the science. Amidst the worries and the concerns of today, don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. It's okay. Confuse them with your peace. Confuse them with your peace. Make them go crazy because you're calm in the midst of the storm. How do you do it? I'm founded on the rock. That's who I am. The word. The word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. I know I'm dealing with an audience right off the bat that you love God. You do Christian things. You've prayed those prayers. You read your Bible sometimes. You've got a bumper sticker. You have a magnet on your refrigerator. But I want to ask you a question for today. Has your relationship with God changed the way you live your life? A lot of people are Christianized. Has your relationship with God changed the way you live your life? That is something that's a schematic that we put on our lives. Has our relationship, we say we believe it, but yet we revert to knee-jerk mindsets of old, to conditioned responses. I see people who have been around these things and have said these things and even taught these things, and they pronounced these things. But when the shoes started to pinch and when things went south, as Grandma used to say, when things go south, things come out, things lash out there that are not there. And it says there's some areas there, and we all have those areas. I've told this before, but when we were little kids, we'd go to the dentist, and they'd give us these little toothbrushes, and we'd brush our teeth, and they'd say, did you do it? Yes, sir, I did it. He said, well, chew this little red pill here.
And we chew the little red pill, and it would show the little blotches of the areas that we missed. How many of you know, if you're just a young boy, you've only conscious about the first four, these two and these. As long as those are fine, you're okay right now. But we take the word sometimes, and we need to put the word and find those areas that need to be brushed a little bit again. And that, and you know what that is? That is not a hard legalistic thing. It is a loving thing that says he's given us this to save us, to help us. The mindset of outside, he's sending everybody to hell. No, we're all going to hell when we breathe our first breath. We were headed that way. The word is clear. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. But the word we give is to save us from, left to our own, we're headed to the direction that is not what God wants. That was not our intention, even why he created us. Has our relationship with God changed the way in which we live? Over this summer, I've coming back and forth to one scripture, Psalm 19. A fragment sentence there says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. As I told you last week, a testimony is a solemn declaration. A testimony is made under oath, hand on the Bible. What does it mean that it is sure? Trustworthy. You can take it to the bank. It's the only safe bank, by the way. His testimony is true. So I say to you, from me and through the scripture, the testimony you are about to hear is true. Now, last week at this point in time, I told you a story about a grandma who had to go to court. And grandma had a few things to say. Well, in equal time today, I want to talk to you about a grandpa. In fact, our line today is this. Three reasons why you should not fight an old man. There are three reasons. First off, if you win, you just beat up an old man. Number two, if you lose, you just got beat up by an old man. Got it? Finally, number three, and most important, the old man will probably shoot you. So in equal time, don't mess with an old man. Don't mess with grandma. But the message today is, don't mess with God. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you something all along. You know, you go to a natural meeting, you go to a business meeting, and on a certain matter, they have to take a vote. And in the person who is chairing the meeting will make this statement. All in favor say what? Now, I means yes. That's not the letter I, okay? That's not it. But it means, and they, if it's the loudest vote, the statement is this in the business meeting. The ayes have it. Well, in our walk with God, in the word and in our walk, the bottom line is this. The ears have it. He is speaking to us. He wants to get to us. Revelation over and over, it says, give us ears to hear. We hear it in Revelation. Give us ears to hear. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 2:17, 3:6, 3:13, 3:9, 13:22. You get the message? He wants to speak to us. And God made us with the intention that he would speak and we would hear them. Forget this, God is ethereal, far away, and he can't be touched. If he can even be moved by the feelings of our infirmity, if he can be moved by that, how much more is he moved as we said, I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. He made us that way. Like developing any relationship, this is how our relationship with God grows. Here's how it grows. He talks, we listen. We talk and he listens. It's a going back and forth. If you've ever raised a young man, you know there's not a lot of words in them. Not a lot of words in them. We already know the script. He doesn't know this, but we already know the script when Tyler's come home from a work day. We know the script. Whether he's at the fire department and done a 24 shift, whether he's training somebody, whatever it is, he will walk in and I say, watch, here it goes. And she'll go, how was your day? Good. Did everything go all right? Yes. Anything unusual happen today? No. Now, he's not mad. This is just the way he speaks, all right? And no. And There's been a couple of times we've been together, and I said, we'll drive up. And I said, look, we're going to walk in there. And I said, I need you to help me a little bit. And he looks at me, and his eyes go out of focus. And I said, I need you to help me a little bit. When you walk in the door, she's going to say, how was your day? Mom, it was a great da-da-da-da-da-da. And she'll lean in. Watch it. She'll lean in. It's really good. How was you? You got to help me out. And I said, and think of a detail. Let's make up a detail even. Let's do that so that you can walk in and say. And so we walk in there, and I've gotten it firmed up with him. We walk in the door. How was your day? It was fine. It was good. The intention is that God would speak, we would listen, and God loves when we talk to him. He loves that when that happens. By the way, that was God's intention when he made us. This is how it all started. Genesis 3 says it this way. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the cool of the day. Now, we don't know. We do not know the time because it takes place in two or three chapters, and it goes by so quick. But I think time, see, there was no time there. I think in our understanding of time, it could have been a million years. It could have been eons of years that God would walk with them and share with them, and they would see the wonders of his creation. And it wasn't until they decided to take things in their own hands and make their decisions that the communication was broken. The great hymn writer said, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Isn't it neat that God can give someone a lyric like that? And maybe it started as poetry, but a lyric like that, and we go, that's how it started. He walks with me. He talks with me. This is how it all started, that he would talk with us. But we lost it. We lost that part of the deal. And God wants to relate to us the very same way. It is still his desire to walk with us. It is still God's desire to talk with us, his children. Last week, I gave you an assignment as you walked out. Most of you might have forgotten it. But I left you with a question to think about. And the question as we left this week, what can you do better to hear God's voice? Is it to start earlier? What is it? Is it the private time? Is it the reading of something that will speak to your spirit so he can talk? How did you do? Look straight ahead. Nobody gets hurt, okay? But how did you do? Maybe you didn't do too well this week. Start it this week. What can you do this week to better hear God's voice? See, we're so loud with our explanations. We have an answer for everything to God. We have this whole thing all planned and said, he wants to walk and talk, and he wants to hear you talk back to him and then listen to what he's going to say. But human nature and spiritual nature, especially when we deal with the wise man on the rock story, not everybody responds to the same word the same way. See, last week we read the story how he stood up on that day of Pentecost, and it said, and eagerly, what must we do? Others went nuts by the very same message. It has everything to do with the receptivity of our heart and what we have decided we want to know, and how much are we going to hold on to that is not like God in our lives. You go a little bit further down. Stephen, you read the story of Stephen. Stephen spoke the message. Some of them respond, but then they wanted to chew on him. They wanted to gnash on him. They eventually killed him. People can hear the very same message, and they will respond different, and that's not God's fault. He created us so he could speak. Sometimes you might feel alone, and I'm going to break this to you gently. When you've made the decision of the importance of, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, your life is going to change somewhat. You're going to lose some things. You'll gain some things. Perhaps your circle might change. You're not called to lord over people and act like you're holy and call down the mountain of destruction upon their heads. You're not called to do that. You're called to your walk. It is your walk. I don't think this is proper language, but I think it might fit because we want to be real before God. You can't fool God. You can't fool God. You can't fool God. You heard the story of the two drunks. They were driving down the road late one night. The car flipped over. They're in the ditch. The car's got them pinned down. They're laying there. And they're screaming. And the guy said, we need help. He said, do you know how to pray? I can try. And the guy says, oh, God, you see us here. We're drunk. He said, stop. No, don't tell him we're drunk. Tell him we're hurt. And a lot of people live their life that way. Maybe if I don't tell God everything, it'll be okay. You know, two guys got in trouble one time. And you know how to pray? No, I don't know how to pray. The guy said, well, I live next door to a church all my life. I think I know how to pray. He said, well, go ahead and pray. He said, B17 in 23. You'll get it. Boy, that's what ADD does to you, and it's not on your notes right there. Here's a statement right here. It's not proper English, but I think it's true because your circle gets smaller when you make that because not everybody's happy about the walk. The faker you are, the bigger your circle will be. But the realer you are, the smaller your circle will be. Hate to break that to you. Now, you don't have to be intentional about it. You don't have to be holy and walk in and scream Ichabod in the house when you walk in. You don't have to wear white robes. You don't have to pronounce that. You don't have to, in front of them, do your feet in front. You don't have to just live and move on. How do some people respond to a word and some people don't respond to a word? If you don't have an ear of or an ear for the Spirit, in other words, if you don't have an appetite for God's voice, if you don't have an appetite to God's voice, it will not appeal to you, nor will you recognize it when it comes. This must be cultivated. How do you know that? Jesus said it this way. You will be blessed if you hunger and you thirst for righteousness. Is that in the book somewhere? Okay, it's not magic. It's not bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. It is time kneeling before him. Jesus, Lord, come. Lord, let me hear. It may start with a song, a praise song. It may be a soft thing by yourself. Some of you need to get away from the clamor. There's a lot of clamor where you are, maybe on a job situation. Need to walk away for just a minute. It won't be long and just stop. And in that thing, he walks with me and he talks with me. You won't hear what the Spirit is saying if you do not have an ear of the Spirit and an ear for the Spirit. And by the way, don't let what someone else does not do trip you up. That's a convoluted sentence. Do not let what someone does not do, I don't believe this, I'm not going to do that, don't let it trip you up. See, most people have their mind made up already, and that's where the battle is. Joyce Meyer wrote the classic book, What is Our Mindset as We Approach God? It's all scripture. He who comes to God must first what? Believe God is. Now take that home. First, he must believe that God is, and who is God? He is the one who will diligently reward those who diligently seek him. The great motivation leadership writer Stephen Covey wrote it this way. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. You ever do that when you're talking to somebody and they're not listening to you? They're waiting for something and jump back in. Therefore, we don't learn anything. So my question for you today, what is your mindset? Better yet, what is your heart set regarding hearing and doing what the Lord says? I said last week, it has everything to do with the condition, the preparation, the receptivity of our heart, because the condition of our heart is directly connected to the condition of your ear. That's one of the mysteries of God. See, last week, I spoke to you about once a year, you have to climb up on those ladders and clean those gutters out, pull those things out, because the flow is stopped, you've got decay, you've got all kinds of problems that are happening potentially there. And that is really what we're doing when we're saying, what have we done to get closer to hear God's voice? What have we cleaned out? Jesus talked about the parable last week. I went into it at length. Why do you speak in parables? He said, so they'll understand it. So today, like a parable, I continue the concept and the comparison of the natural hearing and the spiritual hearing. It's quite parallel, and it's quite instructive. I said a few moments ago, God made us with the intention that he would speak and that we could hear when he spoke. It used to be so easy, just like the natural ear. But wait, the natural ear is more complicated than you think. Last week I went and I found a couple articles, and I don't have time to do it for the sake of time, but you ought to do it someday. You ought to look at how complicated it is and how intricate it is for us to hear a sound. Everything that has to go on, signals that need to go in different places there. It's intricate. It's not as simple as boom, here, pow, I got. No, no. It is an intricate, the vibrations and the things and the channels and everything so sensitive hanging in. You've seen those little videos of those little babies who are born without hearing, and all of a sudden, the first time that they put it on their ears and they hear that sound, they enjoy. You see them crying. They're a little bit of afraid. They don't know what. So that's what she sounds like. And their little faces there. And it takes something special to put on them so that they could hear. It is complicated. It's not by accident, and it is quite amazing how the natural ear can hear. The key verse from last week was this, Psalm 85:5. David says, I will listen carefully. I will listen carefully to what God the Lord. You got it? You like that? You know some people that'll just, oh, I just believe in God, the God of the. No, he is specific. The God, he's the Lord. He believes that God is and that he is the source. I love that scripture. It says, for he speaks peace to his people. It's not what it says, does it? He speaks peace to his faithful people. Want to hear God's voice? Be faithful. Be faithful. Be encouraged. Be faithful. And I left you on this sentence last week. But let them not return to their foolish ways. I kind of touched on this a few minutes ago when I said people say all the right words and do the things, but when they're oppressed, they go back to their foolish ways. I've dealt with people all of our lives that you get them, they're doing better, man. They've had addictions or they've had some other things. And the first time, and you've not been able to call them, and they've got, and you've not been able to babysit with them for a minute, and where have they gone? And they call, I've really messed up this time. Nobody grabbed you, you ran. That thing. And I understand the hold. I'm not belittling the hold. Do not take that. And I understand that hold. But there's got to be a louder voice during those difficult times. And we do. See, if we do not listen carefully, remember when we talk about how we listen and what we listen to? Here's the key. If we do not listen carefully to God's voice through his word and other things, expect to fall into foolish ways. Foolish, this is profound. Foolish ways will mess up anything. Foolish ways will mess up your job. Get goofy, you'll have a problem. Foolish way will mess up your marriage. Foolish way will mess up everything that we touch if it's foolish. Foolishness. Foolish ways will birth what I call the dullness of hearing. Every one of us know people that know the word, and we've said it to them, and they've been in difficult things, and we seem to pull them up. But what happens, they fall back on foolish mindsets, foolish responses, knee-jerk things. Well, I've always come back. No, they go back to those things, and what happens is they get to the point where they can't clearly hear God's word anymore. Foolish ways will block our eyes and our ears. Sometimes it starts as intentional, but then it becomes a way of life. It will block our eyes and our ears to the word of the Lord. Let me just tell you this. Man is prone. Are you man? Are you a man? You sure are. Hate to break this to you, Christian. Unless we're steeped in the word and consistent in the word, we're prone to foolish ways. That is a nature we inherited when we were born. That's why the scripture talks about another Adam, a second Adam that was going to come, and that's our father. Proverbs is so, Linda's been reading a lot of Proverbs lately, and she comes in laughing with stuff and reading it or crying with it. Depends on how it hits her, you know. And Proverbs is so full of some fun things. This is the loving God, the way he speaks of man and his foolishness. And about going back to the foolish. Proverbs 26:11. Loving God says this. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. But God, you're supposed to be love. We're under grace. Yeah, we are. And that's how we are saved. But in our real understanding, that's not the tool to get crazy. Speaking of foolish examples, I want to continue in Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs 20 is a very interesting chapter. You'll also see where a very pivotal scripture comes from that I mentioned last week, but I've not read it for you today. But it's been a scripture I've used for many, many years. He opens in, I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to hit the hot points for you right now. He opens Proverbs 21 by talking about the natural things in our lives. He said, the wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Whoever's led astray by it is not wise. The wrath of a king is like a roaring lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. Listen to this. It's honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. You don't have to be gifted to start a quarrel. They call him a fool. How many people you know are gifted with that? How many of you had to deal with that yourself? Some people just have that ministry. They can just start something just anytime. It's honorable for a man to stop striving. That means walk away sometimes. Walk away. Any fool can start a quarrel. This is not going to go over real big in the world in which we live today. It's a lazy man who will not plow because of winter, but he's the one who will beg during harvest and have nothing. Verse 6 of that chapter says, most men will proclaim each their own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Here's a key for those if you want to walk with God and not walk foolishly. Verse 7, the righteous man walks, not foolishly, but he walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Same chapter, 12th verse. Now, this is the key verse for us now. The hearing ear, what does that mean? That means tuned to the frequency of the word. I quoted the old hymn last week. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. We spent a little time talking about the concept of tuning. So the hearing ear and the seeing eye, what does that mean? That just doesn't mean natural vision, E. That doesn't mean that. It means to see what must be seen. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. This is really saying the discerning eye. The discerning ear, the Lord has made them both, so we will know that's God's word, and that's what's lacking in our world today right now. Verse 27 of the same chapter says it this way, the spirit of a man, that really, and the better translation right there says it this way, really the King James effect I think says it, the conscience of a man. One other version says the candle of the Lord actually in our lives. It says, the spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord, is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inner depths, or meaning the inside of his heart. We've read the story about the man on the rock, hearing and doing as a wise, and doing it right. Mark 4 said it this way, take heed what you hear. Luke 8 says, take heed how you hear. Take heed means to pay close attention to it. You know, when God says, listen up, what do? We better listen up. When he speaks the specifics, there's no generalities in the word. Let's talk about taking heed and paying close attention. There's plenty more. And I just wanted to call a brief list to just give you an idea, and maybe you'll spur your thinking on. I'm going to give you 8 things right now that'll block God's word in your life, that'll stop your ears up to God's word. First 4, fear. 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 You're so afraid you can't hear. You can't hear. You can't hear. It's so like you are afraid. I've seen people paralyzed there, and you can't hear. But if we feel it, put your antennas up. God didn't give you that. God will give you checks in your spirit, okay? God will give you things that you need to slow down and listen. By the way, when they're coming to you with a hurry up now, that means slow down. What's God saying? I'm going to miss this? No, you're not. The next thing, circumstance will block. Circumstance, what do you mean? You don't understand. I wake up and the clock starts and it's there. And it's some of you got a tiger by the tail until Friday comes. And I understand that thing. And that's very real. But that loving God is with you throughout the circumstance. And you go through times that you're overwhelmed and you've got the bills of certain things coming. You get something paid off and done, something else goes wrong. We've all dealt with those things. We've got those things. That's going to cost you right now. You know, we see some things right now. And you know, you do a little chip on your tooth. I don't see a chipped tooth. I see $1,000. That's what I see right there. I don't see a chipped tooth. And it's and we just can't, we get overwhelmed. Here's another thing we got to be careful of. Busyness. Busyness is like one of those cool things. Especially guys, they have to play that role in business. Oh, man, I haven't had any time to sit down. Well, that's a shame. You got to have some time to sit down. I think there's a reason why. Two things. I'm going to say two things about busyness. I think there's a reason we hear in the Word that after he did that and he said, and on that last day, what did he do? He rested. If he rested, I have to rest. Someone said, Jesus took naps. Naps are good. Be like Jesus. I like that. Now, that doesn't mean at your desk at work. You got to be smart. You got to carve away some time where you can stop. Maybe it's only 20, maybe it's only 30 minutes. Someone said, I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandpa, not like the people who were in his car. But we play that, man, I'm busy. Man, I'm busy. And it's a badge. I'm busy. I'm just worn down. My kids don't know who I am. My wife doesn't have time anymore. She's got other things. And I don't sit down enough to speak to them. We don't do some things. You gotta carve that out. And it might be a carve out right in the middle of the busyness. Stop sometimes. Busyness, because when we're so busy, we cannot hear. We can't hear clearly. Oh, that's good. Hurry up, God. You got this. Go. You don't put God on the 11:15 to 11:30 thing on your book there. It's a constant thing. The busyness will block your hearing. Dullness will do that. Dullness comes after a lot of those things combined. That means you're not sharp. You're not hearing well. You're not sharp. You're not tuned into the Word right now. Let me give you four more here. Distraction is one thing that will block your ears. Distraction. What does that mean? That means with your eyes. That means with your focus. We're living in a time right now where people can't hear God's voice because there's so much distraction going on in our world. What's God saying? Well, you weren't distracted by the shine. And I said this 2 years ago, and I stood up and people looked at me like a cow looking at a new gate. And I said, I feel to tell you this. There are things that are going to be coming up in our culture and in our world and in our system right now that we're going to see things, and we're going to be looking at those. Those are the shiny things for the distraction that's gone on. There's distraction going on. There's foolishness going on right now. There are awful things going on right now. And we get so worried about it, we don't know where to focus. We're looking, and the idea is to throw different things up. They weren't right the first time. They're not going to be right the second time. And things that are going on right now, it is a distraction. And people, I can't hear anything. Well, quit getting distracted. Here's another one. Noise. Too much noise. Too much noise. Too much noise. How many of you are at the age now where when you're driving in your car and you have to find out where your right turn is, that you have to turn the radio down so that you can see where your right turn? I don't know what that has to do with it, but there's so many guys. Turn the radio down. We've got to make the turn. Tyler gets in the car, though, and before the car backs out the driveway, the station's on. He's popping. This is a big one. Our ears get blocked to God's word by simple neglect. It's no longer the importance anymore. I've often told you, you get that new car and you love it. You just wipe everything off all the time. You got it. You know, we get something real nice. And there was a point in time with that new car after a while and toting those two chimpanzees in the back seat back there all the time. There was a point in time that new car that smelled so good, if you took your hands and went down the back seat, you could probably piece together a full Happy Meal and the toy. You know what I mean? Everything that, I mean, things had, and neglect, it's neglect. And here's the one, people don't want to use this word anymore, I'm sorry. They call it mistakes. They call it lapse in judgment, and they give it other names right now, but it's sin. It's things where we willfully move against God's word. Paul covered it this way in Ephesians 4. He said, give no place to the devil. That's Ephesians 4:27. In 1 Timothy, he wrote the young man, he said, so do not neglect, or in other words, do not ignore. Do not ignore the spiritual gift. That doesn't just mean the gift of you can speak and heal the sick and sing. No, that means the gift of life, the gift of God that was imparted to you right now. Do not neglect that. Do not neglect it. Do not ignore it. How many times have we even heard God's voice when we were getting stupid and we got way out there and we were getting ready to commit something that was not of God and we knew it and we heard the voice. We stepped over it and we did it anyway. We neglected the spiritual gift. Every one of us have done that. Don't ignore his voice. Ask Jonah. Jonah ignored his voice. Now, he eventually did what God told him to do. But the here to there was quite a journey. And it didn't have to be. The intentional thing of being too busy, are we listening? Before we ask what God is saying to us, that's another thing. I want God to speak to me, but we've not made any changes in those things. I want God to tell me something. Before we ask God to tell us something, we need to deal with the things that will block his voice. And it needs to be a life in order. Hebrews 2 said it this way. I wrote it this way. And by the way, so it makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak. Have we stopped to listen? Have we been silent in his presence? Someone said, you take the two words, listen, and the word silent, they're the same letters, but they need to be put in the right order as we stand before God. Think about that. They need to be put in the right order. Be still and know that I am God. You might have to sit a spell. You might have to have a notebook. You might have to have notes on your phone. Lord, read this. Lord, what are you saying today? Read, and when you start those things, do read those psalms, read those good words of encouragement. Those parts, don't start. God, what does this horse mean? Stop that foolishness right now. Here's the bottom line about your end times. You better be ready. You better be ready today, because if you got hit by the bus this afternoon, he came for you, and your theology does not matter. Be ready and then study the theology for the fun of it and then grow so you can preach it. It's important to know those things. I'm not, that we must know those things. But the bottom line is we must live. Eight ways God speaks. He speaks in many more ways. And some of you are going to go home, well, he could have said so-and-so. And I understand that. That's the problem you have to deal with when you stand up here and you know that people are trying to outthink you at times, you know. Eight ways God speaks. Here's the first four. He will speak through circumstance and experience. Got it? He will speak through, you know, we learned that in the natural life. Don't touch it. It's hot. How do you know? I've done it before. Or I've watched somebody. Through circumstance, God speaks. God, is this, God, you spoke to us through this situation. God will also speak to us through people. It may be just something as simple as an encouragement word when we're low. He will speak to us through people. He'll speak to us through dreams and through visions that come. Sometimes we wake up, I'm not really a dreamer. Very, you know, and a lot, and I don't do that. I don't see visions. I'm sorry if you think I'm supposed to be. It doesn't work that way on me right now. But there are very strong things that come to me. They're strong things, and through the circumstance and the experience and the people through which it came, the track record of the people through which it came. Don't let somebody under a tree give you a prophecy. Don't let somebody come up acting real mysterious with an offering envelope in the other hand, wanting to give you a word right now. You don't need that word. That's not a good. That's manipulation. That's silliness right there. But you need how did you speak? And there's sometimes I wake up and I will wake up and in fact it happened yesterday morning. One scripture that I used a minute ago was not in my notes when I went to bed Friday night. And I woke up Saturday because it is in. I've been living with it for off during the week, and there was something that came to me, and I said, "Wow!" And I ran into the computer, and I went and I found that scripture, and I put it in. I pasted it and put it in that spot. That came to me during that time there. Also through good counsel. We need some folks that will counsel us. And by the way, the track record of people is so important. Please, 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 please. Good counsel. Good counsel will be given to you in such a way it will be a loving and it will show you options It will show you if this, if that, or perhaps you may want to think this way or be open to this thing, but it's an incumbent upon us to take that and what we're going to apply and to use. We've said it so many times. Miss Nancy's not here today, but the place that Jim Cannella played in our lives, and in the life of this family. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't Jim Cannella today. I would not be here. And I remember during some of these years and some of these times that in his dry way, he would say things and you'd walk away. And his suggestion was like, you better listen. That's really what it was going on. And he would say some things. I remember seated at a table with him one day specifically. And it was awful. And he said to me, well, what has God said to you? I wasn't expecting anything spiritual. What has God said? And it was out of my mouth at that moment that I said something that I knew was from God because it was smarter than me, number one. And I never thought of it this way. And before I had time to think, I said, I don't know what God has said, but I said, I know what he has not said. Which keeps you from the foolishness. Maybe if you don't know what God said, you know what God has not said.
Good counsel. Where do you get that? By the way, your dreams and visions won't come from left field. Eight ways that I meant to tell you, Jonah, circumstance and experience. People, encouragement, counsel, and another perspective. Even hearing their mistakes and what they've gone through, their testimonies can be God speaking to you. If you do that, as Jerry Clower used to say, you're fixing to mess up. The dreams and visions, they won't be from left field. Proverbs, good counsel. All right, another one. We will get supernatural confirmation at times. We will see things in the natural that confirm things that come together. We will see those things, and it will be something that God has been working. Here's another thing. In your spirit, you have to ask yourself the question, am I at trouble or am I at peace? Why? Why do I say that? Because if we have the peace of God in us, it will rule our hearts. So God is speaking, whether it's trouble or whether it's peace. The peace of God rules our hearts. Here's another one. Some of you want mountain, stuff from mountain and thunder. I think that would be fun. But sometimes it is that inside, that still, small voice. And finally, the thing after all this is gone, the word. The consistency, and consistently the word says. As we clean out to hear God better, we have to change our attitude about God speaking. What do you mean our attitude? Our old friend Joyce Meyer gave us three things that help us hear God's voice. You ready? And it deals with your attitude. An attitude of listening, an attitude of obedience, an attitude that honors God above everyone and everything else. Oh, Joyce had it. What's your attitude about God speaking? It's an attitude of listening. It's an attitude of obeying. Oh, Dr. Cho, the biggest church in the world. Dr. Cho, what is your secret? You ready for his profundity? Dr. Cho says, I pray, I obey. That was it. That was it. And it's an attitude that honors you. See, some people can't hear from God because they don't honor God. They don't honor his word. They don't honor the time with him. They don't honor. It's one of the 10 commandments, the Sabbath day, keep it holy, honoring God especially on a day like this. King James says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he's a wise one. C.S. Lewis said it this way, though. You got to get a new attitude toward God. There are only two kinds of people. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, all right, then have it your way. And it has everything to do with our response and our attitude toward God. I've told you so many times one of the honors of our lives was to us together working along Oral Roberts. Got some stories. Amazing. And that walk for all those years and to have Oral Roberts, I mean, it was an amazing experience for both of us. But I heard him tell his story over and over that as a young, rebellious young man,
He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say. His mother was a prayer warrior. Her name was Claudius Roberts. And when he needed something profound, like the way Jim said to me, what has God said? If you want to hear from God and then you want to know what to do after you hear from God, his mother said it this way, Oral, obey God. I pray, I obey. When you hear God's voice, obey. Walk in that. I come back to 85, verse 8. I will listen carefully to what the Lord God is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, and let them not return to their foolish ways. Stay faithful, not foolish, then expect to hear God. Because in this walk, the ears have it. Listen up, saints. Let's stand.